Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Honey, they don't call it a job for nothing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. Today, we are covering the finale of And Just Like That, the return of Samantha Jones and Annabelle Brownstein. Brownstein? Did I say it right?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think you did.
That voice on the line is Hannah Brown. She's been joining me for these recaps. Hannah, how are you?
Oh, my gosh. I'm great, Dan. Thank you so much for having me back. And I want to let you know that thanks to you, your impact, I've been listening to Beast on repeat for the last week because I loved, and I'm not just blowing smoke because we're very good friends. I loved your interview with Idina Menzel. Oh, I thought it was incredible.
You.
And she was like very, very cool. You never know with like a Broadway icon if you're going to get like insufferable like theater kid energy. And I'm saying that as a proud theater kid myself, or like grounded cool energy. And she like seemed like the ultimate cool girl.
I thought she had a cool energy too.
I loved her.
Sometimes with interviews, it's interesting. People take them, some people like stuff, some people don't. Sometimes I'll like love an interview and then mm-hmm. people will not like it. Other times I'll be like, oh, that was not great. And then other people love it. So it's hard for me to tell.
Yeah.
So I love to hear that because I really did like her.
Oh, she was awesome.
I thought she was cool and chill and all of the things.
And I loved like hearing like someone who's so, for lack of a better term, iconic, be like, oh yeah, I kind of get like, the older I get and the more successful I get, the more insecure I am. I was like, that is such a vulnerable, like cool thing to say, because like, just to know that someone that talented has imposter syndrome sometimes is like really awesome and relatable.
Totally. And I think of her as like a really like good voice. And
yeah.
I know we laugh at that song Beast. And
but I'm unironic about it. I love it.
It starts as irony. And then by a week or two into it, you're like, oh wait, I think I might actually just enjoy this song.
At the end of this week, like I'm like, it's going to be in my Spotify Wrapped. Like you heard it here first. Like I've listened to it so many times. Like I'm alone in my car being like, I'm a beast, baby. And then when I saw a TikTok that like someone was like, it sounds like a track from Chromatica, I was like, that explains everything.
Yeah it really does.
Yeah,
hit it home. Hannah, I also have to mention that on the podcast feed it's listing you, and I know we've made this distinction a million times
for
on the
love
podcast,
of fucking
for the love
god.
Of fucking god, it's still listing you as the Hannah Brown from the Bachelor world. So I'm still getting messages of people being like, oh, I thought that was the Bachelor or Bachelorette Hannah or something, but you're a different Hannah Brown. And I don't know how to change on the podcast, on Apple Podcasts.
I don't either.
It has her picture on it for these episodes. And I'm like, I don't know how to change that.
Well, I had something recently where I was being asked like, oh, how do you want to be credited? And I'm like, let's just go with Hannah A. Brown at this point, because that's my social handles. Like hopefully someday I'll get to just have my name without people thinking I'm Alabama Hannah. She's like a cockroach. I can't get rid of her.
I don't really know much about her.
The last thing she did was the last thing she did was that show where like you pretend to be a Navy SEAL, and I think she won.
The one Sandoval's doing?
Yes. Yes.
It's like, Schwartz did the Mars show.
He did
show.
Stars on Mars, but Sandoval's doing
what the fuck is going on? The strike needs to end, because if that's the content
crazy.
We're getting, we need to
this
cool
is
it.
Getting crazy. But yeah, she won that show. She wins like every reality show she touches. So like she will never go away, but it does feel personal at this point.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Speaking of personal, I know we're going to get to And Just Like That. You could fast forward if you don't want to hear this part, but I do want to ask you a question, because we're both fall lovers. I'm sort of fully in autumnal mode already.
Me too.
And I'm embracing, we were just talking about soups before we started recording, like soups. A full conversation about soups, because we're both in soup season.
Yeah.
And I was texting you because I wanted to know your top three. So I had you prepare your top three autumnal films, because this will be your last episode. You'll come back, I'm sure, and we'll cover something else. Or we'll do another episode. Maybe you'll join me on a tour date or two.
Who's to say?
But I wanted to know your autumnal list, three movies that everyone should be watching. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be scary movies. Mm-hmm. I know people sometimes think Halloween movies, which we love as well. Mm-hmm. But what are your top three autumnal movies? And I'd like us to discuss those.
Okay. I'm going to give you the most basic answers of all time. And I looked at a listicle from Oprah to prepare for this. Yeah.
We're still doing the work.
Yeah. We're doing the work. But my top three will forever be You've Got Mail.
Yeah.
Practical Magic.
Yeah.
And Hocus Pocus.
Sure.
What about you?
Yeah. I was trying to think outside the box. Obviously,
me too.
Practical Magic, of course. And what I came to realize is there's also like this subcategory of movies where I feel like they're like late summer, yes, August movies.
Yes.
Like I was thinking Now and Then feels very like late August.
Back to school time.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
Like it just feels like August energy.
But The Sandlot feels like June, July energy.
Exactly.
It's early summer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think I love sort of late summer, early fall. Mm-hmm. I had just rewatched Only You, which I had to buy because it's not streaming.
Oh, yeah, I have that
which
one, too.
I know we both love that movie. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to ask you about this because I was like, what season is that?
To me, that's summer.
Okay. Because it starts with like an Ouija board, which feels fall.
Very fall.
That's the opening scene. And then when they're in Rome, I feel like they're always kind of like got long sleeves on. I love the outfits in that movie.
Oh, so good. Peak 90s fashion.
But it feels, I was like, I wonder if Hannah thinks, when does she think this is the ideal time to watch that movie?
See, I think I first saw it and fell in love with it in the summer, like when I was a kid. So I think I always associate it with just like a fun, loosey-goosey, like summer vibe. But there's in the beginning that scene where Faith is like, okay, have a great holiday. So it's a holiday weekend.
Oh yeah, Labor Day.
It's Labor Day weekend. So you make a strong case for late summer, early fall.
Right. Okay.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other one that is not on your list that I wanted to mention was Mermaids. I feel like is such a good fall movie with Cher and Winona Ryder and Christina Ricci. Oh really, God. Christina Ricci's whole filmography is like either August, September, or October.
You're right, because you have Casper, Yellow Jackets.
The coziest fall the coziest content.
Well, on this list I was looking at, they were also mentioning like Dead Poets Society, Remember the Titans, Mystic Pizza, like movies that, yeah, kind of have that like late summer fall feeling. And I was like, oh, those are some movies that I really need to dig into because I always go back to my constants, the ones I mentioned. But like there are a lot of good cozy fall type movies. It Follows to me gives fall.
It Follows. Okay.
Yeah, which is very, it's a little spooky, but it's really good. You know what bothers me though about this season?
Hope Floats. Do you think that's summer?
Yes.
It feels a little folly though, doesn't it?
Yeah, late summer, early fall.
Like I think that one has like a filter on it, so it's giving like yellows and oranges and browns.
You know what's a fall movie?
What?
Stepmom.
For sure. 100%.
Oh yeah, my gosh. 100%. Julia Roberts' little like knit caps and they're all in cozy sweaters in that gorgeous house that they live in.
Oh, fuck me.
I'm going to start crying right now.
And my fear is, no, I won't do the monologue.
Oh my God.
She'll be thinking, I wish my mom were, and mine is, she won't. Okay. Let's get to In Just Like That because people are going to complain. What did you think of Samantha Jones' return?
Not long enough, but we knew that that was going to be the case.
I was trying to look at it through the lens of what they intended, which was to be a surprise. Mm-hmm. So initially they had said that they didn't want that information to get out. They wanted people to tune into this episode and be surprised. There's Kim Cattrall. Mm-hmm. Now, there was an interesting interview with Michael Patrick King, who wrote and directed this episode in Variety. I think it was Kate Arthur, who we love. But she did an interview post it airing. Mm-hmm. And he said that he didn't direct that scene. Because he has a tenuous word?
Tenuous
relationship with Kim Cattrall. And I found like reading the subtext of that interview was so interesting. Because he's like, I was directing another scene with Anthony and the boyfriend.
And Giuseppe.
And I was like, man, they had to like bring in a different director. Kim Cattrall got paid ass loads of money to do that one scene. I bet you she got some sort of development deal with HBO to do some other series. Because she did not want to do it. And that's all she gave them was that little moment. So I think it was unfortunate that it teased us wanting more next season.
I know.
When I don't think we're going to get that.
No. But, just like we didn't get Aiden's farmhouse.
I know. Fuck that.
Or the Hamptons.
You know, this whole series really made me turn on Aiden. Like a lot.
Ah!
Gary's crying.
Yay! I should have been there.
We're going to talk about his whole fucking 5-year thing.
I've had enough
of Aiden. I mean, the way what he did.
I literally watched it twice. I watched it last night kind of wine drunk. And then I watched it again this morning to take notes. And last night, I literally, in the scene where he like throws the rock at her window and, you know, tells her everything, I was screaming at my TV. I was like, no, no. Oh my God. And I like, I was shocked.
Yeah. Cause okay. He said 5 years. He's like, give me 5 years until fuck ass Wyatt is out of his teens. Cause Wyatt was 14, but he turns 15 in a week. And I just thought it was so weird to say like 5 years.
5 years.
Wasn't it like in a weird number? Yes. And I wondered, it was like, did they want to just have that parallel with Seema? Cause Seema's guy had to take 5 months away.
5 months, 5 years, potato, potato.
And we all know how time and space works on the show, which last week's episode ended and this week's episode like began at the same time. Yeah. Where normally in between episodes, it's like 5 months, six months, 10 years, who knows?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, where are we going to open next season? Is it going to be 5 months away? Is it going to be 5 years away? It's anyone's guess.
I know. And I was also, well, are we going chronologically?
Yeah, no, we do whatever we want.
We do what we want.
Get on the train or get off, people.
Where we're going, we don't need roads. I was also really confused because they had that conversation where Aiden's like, wait, let me pull up my notes really quick because I want to make sure I
was this at the end. When
this was at the end.
He showed up and finally went into that apartment.
Yeah,
after making such a big fucking stink about it.
After being a little bitch the entire season, right, being like, I can't go in. Then he just marches through over the threshold. Like,
see,
nothing.
It wasn't that hard.
Yeah.
I saw someone online say, like, if you can't enter the apartment, you shouldn't be entering Carrie. You know, like, what?
That is true.
Like, come on.
That is true.
Yeah.
He comes in, he's like, I don't have luggage. Come sit down. Come on. I don't know where this accent's coming from, but he basically reveals, he's like, I gotta go right back because Wyatt needs me. And he's like, you know, he had shrooms and beer in his system. Where do you even get magic mushrooms? He needs a lot of watching that one. And basically he's like, the kids don't really give a shit about their mom. I need to be there. And I was like, what you're doing is you're raising codependent losers.
Oh, totally.
The fact that you're willing to give up your entire life, your relationship, because Wyatt had a temper tantrum by way of doing mushrooms and drinking some beer and driving your truck. Like, you're going to reward him for that by literally dropping everything you have going on.
Also, I find it so confusing because it's like we met the mother of the kid, and she seems like a great mother. Like, she was concerned about Carrie writing about her kids. So to then act like she's not enough of a parent, like,
right, or because she travels for work and has a boyfriend, like, God forbid.
And then he said something, there was a line where he said something like, well, even when she's around, or even when they're at her place, they still need me at home or whatever. And I was just thinking, like, I feel like we're taking all the power away from the mother.
I know.
And we've known that she was a good mother. She was concerned about her kids. She confronted the new girlfriend.
Yeah.
So it's so strange to me.
And then when he did that whole bit where he's like, 10 years went by like that. Then he's like, 5 years will go by like, and then he just holds his fingers together and Carrie goes, are you going to snap them?
Don't you feel like this is mean and we're going to be nitpicky. That's what we're doing here on this show. But I feel like they really thought they did something with that snap. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes. I was so irritated by
like,
it.
They just really thought like they did it. Like, that was like a very good dramatic like button or something, do you know? And I just imagine like the directing on set and stuff where it's like, okay, now don't click it, just hold it. And just we saw that scene of like Aiden like at the car and just looking at Carrie up the window.
And Carrie's like holding her cat named Chew.
Also, it's so the fact that they bought this new place for Carrie and Aiden and the kids to live in. And Aiden's just telling you now that, oh, by the way, like, I'm not going to be living there. I'm going, and Carrie's like, well, I already got rid of my old apartment and I got this new big ass place. And it's like, what is the financial situation here? Because before, Carrie and Aiden had a hard time going, they couldn't go to a fucking hotel.
I know. Right?
Because she said that there was a line in where she's like, oh, it's too expensive to be living out of a hotel. So they used Che Diaz's apartment.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, you obviously have tons of money to just throw away on this place that Aiden ain't going to be in for 5 years.
So what's she going to do with like the other like three bedrooms? Like, it's just going to be more closets?
I don't know. I don't want her to leave that apartment.
I don't either.
And by the way, I wrote this down. Like, do women leave bras in their apartment for other tenants? Like, what was that about?
Fucking Lizette.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
She left her bras.
She goes, oh my God, she left me the bras. Like, as Anthony and Giuseppe were having like an important conversation. Classic Lizette.
I think they added a boner to the Giuseppe.
Wait, what do you mean?
When they were making out in that closet.
Oh, he had a boner?
And people were like coming through. I swear there was like a tent being pitched in there. And I don't know. I didn't know if that was like a choice or if, I don't think it was accidental.
No, because his whole thing is that he has a giant dick.
Yeah, but in real life, like, he's been nude. The actor has been nude in other things. And mm-hmm. some listeners have pointed that out to me. You can mm-hmm. look it up for yourselves. But so look it up and then maybe revisit this conversation, because I don't want to, like, give any more information away. But look that up, and it maybe doesn't match narratively mm-hmm. with these, however big the penis is in this show.
Speaking of boners, do you remember?
Wait. I'm so sorry to interrupt you.
No, please.
I'm so sorry.
No, please.
I apologize.
No, of course.
But I just need to know, like, do women wear each other's bras? Like, is that a thing?
I don't.
Like, would you be weirded out if somebody, like, had a really nice bra mm-hmm. and they were like, here, keep it?
If it was like a carry bra, I would probably wear it.
Okay. Okay.
No. I probably would, because they're cute and probably really expensive and like would look pretty like under like a dress or a top, like showing a little bit, like peeking out, classic carry.
Okay, good. I just needed to know that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But I am curious about how the conversation went down, where Carrie was like, Lizette, I'm going to leave you these bras and they'll be hanging in my closet. And Lizette's like, oh, happy day. My jewelry's gone, but my bras aren't.
We're going to talk about Lisette in a minute, but go ahead. I interrupted your sentence.
Oh, speaking of boners.
I interrupted your boner.
I just always thought it was funny in Growing Pains how Mike Seaver's best friend's name was Boner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Like, they knew what they were doing. Like, naming a character Boner.
One of the greatest TV theme songs of all fucking time. As long as we got each other,
we got the world spinning right in our hands.
My friends Michelle and Jeannie and I in college used to go whenever, throughout the dorm, we would just be singing that song.
That's
all the
fun.
Time.
So fun. Yeah. We don't talk about the Torkelsons enough either. I loved that show.
Oh my God. I don't think I watched that show.
I love the Torkelsons.
Did you watch Eureka's Castle?
Yes.
So like I watched that as a really young kid. And
I wrote hard for Eureka's Castle.
I sort of feel like I blocked it out of my memory, and then it showed up in some social media thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, like I was obsessed with that, but it was like probably before my, before my brain was like fully developed or something. So it was like, it was in the deep recesses of my brain.
Yes.
And then I was like, oh my God, it all came back to me, like sitting in front of the TV, loving that show.
I loved that show. And Allegra's Window.
Yeah. Yeah. What
and
was
Pappy
that?
And Pappy Drew It.
Was that on Nick?
I think so.
Okay. Can we talk about Lisette? Since we were sort of on Lisette.
Yeah.
She and Che Diaz had this moment when Che Diaz came for the final supper.
Mm-hmm.
And Lisette says, oh, I loved your podcast.
Thrilled to meet Che Diaz.
Thrilled. And also said this line that made me laugh so hard, where it was like, any new comedy things I need to be looking out for? Or it was something like that. It was like, what kind of question is that?
And Che Diaz was like, I'm transitioning. The old me is fucked and the new me isn't here yet. And Lisette's like, oh, I felt the same way when I moved from LA to New York. So I made this butterfly ring. And Che's like, oh, to represent your metamorphosis. And Lisette's like, yeah, I really like butterflies. I'm hella literal.
I've never hated a scene more.
I was like, what the fuck is happening? And also this like world that we live in, that like every single person who meets Che Diaz is like taken by them, like, like hypnotized by their charms. And I'm just like, be so fucking for real. Like, I'm not saying Sarah Ramirez is not a beautiful person. I am saying the fact that just anyone of any age, whatever, is like obsessed with Che Diaz. Like,
in this world. And then in the outside world, like everyone universally hates the character.
Yes. Like, it's shocking.
It's such a disconnect.
Yes.
And we just need to cut a lot of these characters. We have to. There's too many characters to service. And in this episode, which I actually really did like, I thought this was comparatively.
Yeah, we had fun.
I like the episode. But there's too many characters to service, and so many of them are getting shortchanged, and then it feels like we're just like sort of throwing new ones in, like we're throwing smoke in there, like that other comedian's girlfriend.
Jackie's significant other.
And I'm like, okay, do we need this extra, we need another character? We got all these other people. Like, I'm still trying to figure what the fuck they're doing with Nia Wallace.
I know.
And LTW. And it's like, let's service the ones we got.
The LTW stuff I thought was really weird. I feel like they were very flippant about her miscarriage and like this whole storyline where she's like, she told Charlotte, just like, oh yeah, I lost it. And then they just like were like, anyways, and like someone else, like then Seema arrives at the party. And I was like, this is like some heavy stuff. And then she has like a brief scene with Herbert where she like cries in the bathroom about like, did I cause this, you know? And I was like, that's like really heavy. And you're giving it like 20 seconds of screen time.
Yeah. I know it doesn't, and there obviously I think has to be behind the scenes stuff of like, maybe they didn't have availability with the actors.
Totally.
Or I know like with Nia Wallace, I feel like she's doing morning shows. She's a main cast member. Yeah. So maybe they just didn't have much time with her.
Right.
Or they plan to do more, but then the episodes are so long. I'm like, well, I don't know. How do you service all these people? And then we keep diving deeper into people like Lisette. And I'm like, I just don't know that we need that.
We don't. So, we really don't.
And is the audience really like craving that?
I was also confused by Carrie's guest list for this intimate dinner of 16 to say goodbye to an apartment that she's had for 25 years. It's like, oh, Jackie, you come and bring your girlfriend smoke. And Lisette, you come and I'll leave you my bras. I was just like, wouldn't you want it to be like people who have been in your life for like all that time?
And I think it would work better if we didn't have such a long history with this show and the other characters. So we have seen this season people like Enid.
Yes.
Or other people who've been in Carrie's life for a long time.
Yeah.
Or who was that other woman? Her name's slipping me. The one who was married to Nathan Lane in the original series. Mm-hmm. Who we've seen a couple times pop up. It's like, those are characters I feel like she has a longer standing relationship with. But then narratively, it's like we're just having to throw Nia Wallace in there, even though Nia's having to say, like, I don't know any of these people.
Right.
Like, why am I going to this thing?
Who the fuck are all these people?
Yeah.
I don't know them.
And, which I think we talked about this last time, but like, Carrie, I don't understand her inviting Che Diaz after publicly shaming her best friend Miranda at that comedy show.
I know.
It's like, why is Che going to be there? And why didn't Carrie say, like, what the fuck are you saying to my friend?
Yeah, what's wrong with you? Sorry if I've already mentioned this. I saw something on social media, like multiple things, and I heard from people being like, Samantha Jones would have never stood for that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's true. Like, Carrie said nothing to Che Diaz about the Miranda of it all. And then, of course, the fact that, like, Miranda sidles up to Che Diaz at Carrie's and Che Diaz is like ripping shots because Che Diaz behaves like they're a college student. It's like exhausting.
Right. The age stuff up too. And it's like, how old are we supposed to believe these characters are? Like, I don't, even with the LTW stuff, I thought it was interesting, or it was kind of strange to me that it like never even came up. Did it come up like the age? And maybe it was like alluded to, but I just thought there could have been like an interesting conversation about like this woman who got pregnant at 52 unexpectedly. And I don't know. I thought there could have been so much juicy stuff to talk about or dialogue. But then I felt like it was maybe like, I guess, sort of alluded to in losing the child.
And then we get, you know, 20 minutes of Che Diaz screen time instead of digging into the LTW of it all. Oh, also, there was like a 2 second plot where Giuseppe, like, maybe going back to Rome. And Anthony is like, what? And he's trying to figure out like if he should lose his ass virginity to Giuseppe. And he's like, I'm not certain if I'm staying in the States.
You have a wallop.
You have a wallop. And then by the end of the episode, when Carrie makes them play that insufferable game where they all name what they're letting go of, Giuseppe
she's
is
all
like,
of a sudden the student council leadership conference.
I hate forced merriment. I really do. I hate when I'm at a party and people are like, ring a ding ding, we're playing a game now. Like, I don't want to play a game. I'm having a nice time chatting.
Like, let me have this cocktail and just enjoy.
Don't make me perform for you.
Right. Right.
Come up with a word. And so Giuseppe is like, I'm letting go of Rome. And then of course Carrie's like, expectations.
And if it's an intimate dinner party, like, do we need the icebreakers? Because doesn't everyone should be knowing each other intimately.
Well, they should, but
because it's so loose.
Jake noticed that Carrie was missing an extension that entire scene. She had like one extra long piece, like boob level long, and the rest was like not as long.
I loved her dress. Did you love it? I did. Did you not love it?
No.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, like, it was Carrie, like, for sure.
Yeah.
It was just giving, like, Tim Burton prom to me in a way that, like, I didn't adore. It was, like, Jenna Ortega, like, promoting, like, Wednesday, like, on a red carpet. You know what I mean?
You know, they were all commenting how beautiful the table looked. And I, as a tablescape person myself, I was like, I don't think it looks that great. Like, it was fine.
Said it.
It was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine. There were so many goddamn candles lit in that place, though. So many fucking candles.
I was confused about, so the bathroom is through Carrie's closet, and there were a lot of people passing through that closet to get to the bathroom. And there was one shot where it was like, there were giant like taper candles, like in the bathroom, like there was a shot of it. But then when they were in there, there were just tiny tea lights. And so the candle continuity, there were a lot of candles, but I also have questions.
There were even candles lit in like the cabinets, I know. Which I thought like, what are you doing?
I know. You're
That's a fire hazard.
It is a fire hazard.
Yeah. You're going to blow up all these people. Maybe yeah. I was actually hoping that was the case.
Yeah. Would have been
get rid of some
TV.
Characters. It would have been an easy way to just sort of explain like, oh, some of them made it out. Some of them didn't.
Lizette didn't make it.
Sorry. Lizette didn't make it. Jay Diaz Smoke, whoever that is, or whoever yeah. these other people are that we're just throwing in there. I think the layout of the apartment has been changing, right? Like,
yes.
Cause I thought the bathroom was off Carrie's bedroom.
Yes. Right. But then when LTW is like, excuse me, and she like walks through the closet to go cry in the bathroom, then we find her in the bathroom.
So I think we're led to believe that there might be two bathrooms in Carrie's apartment. Yet Nia Wallace has that gorgeous apartment and mm-hmm. only one bathroom through the bedroom, which through I know could be a New York thing. But I still stand by the fact that even in New York, in that specific Nia Wallace apartment, there'd be a half bath. An extra half bath.
A powder room.
Something for Miranda to shit in while the professor's getting railed. Excuse my language. Let's take a break here, and then we're going to come back. I have so many. We're not even getting to the cat.
No.
We're not even the good cat of it all. Huh. Find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino. We'll be right back. Thank you to Acast. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus, iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow-knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/iconic. And we're back, Hannah.
We're back.
Okay, should we talk about what Anthony's ass virginity a little more?
Sure.
Because I feel like there's just a lot there. I'm so glad they gave Anthony like a full storyline.
Mm-hmm.
But do you believe he's in love with this gentleman, Giuseppe?
I want to.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, you know, he said this line of like, I've only been in love one other time. And then Giuseppe's like, oh, you're in love? And then mm-hmm. I thought that was like a sweet moment.
Yeah.
Even though it still is blasphemous to me what they did to Stanford.
100%.
Like the explanation, which I've read in interviews with Michael Patrick King as well, is that him and Sarah Jessica Parker. Mm-hmm. Have you heard this story?
No.
Okay, so I might be getting a few details wrong. You can go look it up. But him and Sarah Jessica Parker went to Kyoto after the Sex and the City 2 movie.
Okay.
After it got really terrible reviews.
Uh-huh.
The two of them went, and he said he was in a really low place and sort of looking around. And I think he was inspired, maybe had the thought cross his mind of like, maybe he'll just live here and become a monk. And he said, I think Sarah Jessica Parker wasn't as like dissuaded or upset about the bad reviews for Sex and the City 2,
mm-hmm.
which if you go back and watch it is a pretty bad movie.
Egregious.
With a few little moments of high points.
Uh-huh.
And I think that was our best amuse-bouche for the series.
Yes.
Because it's very tonally, I think, similar where yes. you're like, what the fuck is going on? That's how you're watching the show. Like, yes. What the fuck are they doing? So that's how that storyline came to be. And I'm not an expert, right? What the fuck do I know? I'm just giving my opinion. But it's sometimes like you might have gone through, they say write what you know. Mm-hmm. And you might go through something and want to write that for a character. But I think the hard thing with this show is that when you do that and write your own life into these characters' lives, it's like we already have a history with these characters. So we already kind of, they already have the way that they are.
Right.
So then when you're putting on your own thing into this character, sometimes it might not work.
It doesn't align.
Like I understand that unless Stanford was always written as Michael Patrick King, which maybe it was. So maybe that's a bad example. I don't think it was. But so when you're putting that, it's like, well, I understand you went through that experience, but like we also, it doesn't track necessarily with Stanford.
Right. Like, does it make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where it like loses me. And there's been a couple storylines like that. Like even we complained about the Nia Wallace and the baby gift thing.
Yes.
And then some people had pointed out to me that on that companion podcast, they say, I guess somebody had that experience.
They got a fuck you gift that was $1,000 for their ex.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe that's a bad example because it's a newer character. So you can maybe put more of your personal stuff on there. So I don't know where I'm going with this, but you know what you sort of get what I'm saying, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you, do you believe Carrie as a cat mom?
No,
I don't either.
Not at all.
And I'm a cat mom and I love cats, as you know. I mean, looking at Chu, like at their little mews, I wanted a kitten.
But wait, was Chu supposed to be still a kitten? Because didn't we see was it the same kitten that we had met months ago at the vet?
Oh, yeah.
But yet so much time has passed, but it was still a kitten.
A tiny kitten. That's a good point. Side note, if I were to name a kitten Shoe, it would be after my favorite actress of all time, Elizabeth Shoe.
Oh my God. Is there an Andrew Shoe?
Maybe.
Is that a man from Melrose Place or something?
Is he related to Elizabeth?
I don't know.
You should get Elizabeth Shue on the pod. I would have a panic attack.
Elizabeth Shue was Karate Kid and
Heart and Souls, Adventures in Babysitting.
Okay.
Hamlet Two.
Oh my God, Adventures in Babysitting.
I know.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Iconic.
That movie. Didn't they remake that with Jonah Hill?
You know, I
think they did.
Did they really?
Or they did he was a babysitter. There was a movie where he's Elizabeth Shue. And I just have to say again to Hollywood, we should not be replacing Elizabeth Shue with Jonah Hill.
Absolutely
spiritually
not.
Or otherwise, because it's not the same.
Do you remember when Bethany talked about how she wanted to make a Hanukkah movie and she wanted to make Leah Michelle the lead because Leah Michelle is quote Jewish and Leah Michelle is very much not. And then she's like, and Seth Rogen will play my husband and I'll play the mom.
Oh my God. No, I don't remember that.
It was long. I think you're the one who alerted me to it.
There's so much Bethany stuff coming that I cannot remember it all.
It all blurs together.
It all blurs together.
Crab boil.
But wait, speaking of that, on the same similar topic, there's this new movie on Netflix called, oh God, You're Not Invited. You're So Not Invited to My Bat Mitzvah.
Oh.
And it's an Adam Sandler movie. His daughter plays the lead. Okay. It's very his whole family's in it. The wife's in it. The two daughters are in it.
Explains why I didn't get to read for it.
But Beast Idina Menzel is the wife of Adam Sandler. Anyway, it's so sweet. I put it on and just came out. I really encourage people to watch it. It's kind of Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, mixed with a harder comedy.
Oh, cute.
I thought it was so special, really. I don't, maybe my expectations were too low, but I went into it and I was this is fantastic. It's so sweet and funny and cute and smart. And I thought it was special.
I love that.
So it's on one of the streaming Netflix, maybe something.
Okay. I'll watch it this weekend.
Anyway. Back to the cat mom thing. I don't imagine her as a cat mom.
I don't either.
No.
And in the end when she was holding her cat, waving at Aiden, very practical magic vibes, you know, you could argue in the end when Jillian is holding the cat.
Sure.
She wasn't giving Jillian. She was giving SJP with a cat and I didn't believe it.
You know, I'm worried I'm gonna possibly become a witch because I do love practical magic so much. And it's a lot of witch content is coming up on my TikTok now because of the fall vibes.
Yeah.
And I'm talking people doing spells, mixing lavenders and stuff. And I find it so hypnotic. And I was watching the other day. I'm I could definitely see myself accidentally becoming a witch.
Oh my God. You're oops.
Oops. Because I see some of the spell or some, I guess they call, I don't want to say the wrong thing, but I think they call them spells where they're mixing. I'm talking put lavender, you know, in practical magic, how they have those kinds of spells.
Totally. They're making an elixir. They're making a, you know, pancakes for Mr. Hallett.
Hannah, I'm watching these videos and I'm it looks so cozy. I'm thinking I'm going to invite Hannah over one day in November and we're going to mix some,
That'd be
I don't
so
know,
fun.
some, don't know, frog's tails or something. Not actual, yeah. You know, we'll do
I faux. Have newt.
Yeah, well, like an eye of newt and some lavender blossoms.
Yeah.
And maybe like some apple cider or some, I don't know what it'll be.
With like a mortar and a pestle.
And then you warm it and then it'll like ward off evil spirits or something.
That sounds really fun. Don't you have like a fantasy? I definitely do. Where like, even though I love like sharing on social media and like that stuff, I would love for my career to be so rock solid and to just be so relevant that I could just throw social media mm-hmm. away, get a tiny cottage in like New England and just like live my life quietly peacefully.
I was just talking about this on my, I guess my last Orange County recap with Bethany, who keeps coming up
somehow.
She's like the Voldemort of this podcast, but she, I was saying like, wouldn't you just want to like go off and to be posting like every meal, every trip to the store and recording everything? I'm like,
you don't have to be doing
why
that.
Would you, if I made all that money and I didn't have to be doing that kind of stuff, like, I don't think that I would want to be doing that
stuff. I would fuck off forever. I think of the celebrities who don't have social media, like, you know, you're Emma Stone, you're
Julia Roberts posting like once a year.
Yes. Yes. I'm like, that is the dream because they don't even have to, like they have a career, whether they do it or they don't.
Yeah. Or just posting like, I don't know what you want, when you want, instead of just like every time you're eating crab in a hotel room with the garbage bag, like you're thinking, I need to post this.
Yeah. Every time I'm slurping the meat out of a crab leg, I have to make.
Or like showing how you make like a basic ass salad with just like it's just lettuce in a Parmesan.
I know.
Like, it's like, do we need a recipe for that?
She's like, this is how I make my bagel. I take out a bagel. I put butter on it. It's so good. So good. It's like, okay. Everything but the bagel seasoning from Trader Joe's. I put it on my bagel with little capers. So it's like, no shit. No shit.
Right. No shit. No shit.
Wait. Also, we got a scene with Miranda and Steve.
Miranda. Like, Steve was speaking Spanish at the beginning of that scene. The guy's like, you don't have to speak Spanish, like speak English. And then all of a sudden he like slipped back into his like Steve and said something. Where are we going to put the beer? Oh man. And Brady was just like conveniently riding his bike
again.
When the parents, I was like, oh my God.
What is with this trope of Brady riding up on his bike at the end of every scene with Steve in front of his new spot? And in that scene, Steve said something like, Miranda, the last couple of years, it's like I've been in this cyclone. It's shocking that my head isn't smashed on the ground like a watermelon. And I was like, whoa, that got really dark, really fascinating. He's like, the past is the past. We can just be friends, right?
And she's like, I'm doing Steve from Miranda. She said something about like how you were wrong about us or something. And he's like, I was right about you for some of the time.
And then, he's like, I was right about you for some of the time. I was right to get that place in Brooklyn. We could never afford it now.
Poor Steve. And then why wasn't Steve at the dinner party? Like, I thought they like
said for Steve.
They said he was going to be there because wasn't it a thing? They said like, oh, both your exes are going to be there, Miranda.
Yeah.
And then Steve's just not there. I was like, where the fuck's Steve?
What but Lizette Steve? Is there.
Yeah, and Smoke.
And like, Smoke. Gotta save a seat for Lizette and Smoke.
I like got so mad at that. The what's the other comedian's name?
Jackie.
And this was another thing that I saw Michael Patrick King say. So I'm sorry to keep bringing this up from this interview I read, but he was saying like people don't like to watch stand-ups, and it's like, yeah, no shit. And so why do we bring in more stand-ups? Like why?
So
and
many
they had
stand-ups.
That moment with Che and that guy where Smoke was like, that's how stand-ups communicate with each other, and it's like, yeah, we don't like watching that. Like, stop it.
Enough. Like, I don't want to see y'all doing bits.
I'm sorry. Like, if you, they seem to know that no one wants to watch stand-up comedians talk about being stand-up comedians or doing stand-up.
Yeah.
So, like, then why do we keep throwing it at the audience?
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know that.
It's like being at a party where you're the only one who's not on the improv team and they're all like, oh, like doing bits across the room.
Just yes-anding the shit out of every conversation. Yes-anding
and doing like niche inside jokes that like are from improv practice. And you're just sitting there like, I don't get it.
Matt, we started dating when I was really like knee deep into the improv community. Mm-hmm. And Matt like hates going. He doesn't like any comedy show. He doesn't want to go see stand-up. He doesn't want to go see improv. But I just think back and I'm like, man, I made him go to so many stand-up shows at like 11:30 at night.
He really loves you.
I mean, really like, yeah. He deserves the world for that. Like, because, yeah, group. Anyway.
He was so real for that.
So real for that. But wait, there was something else I wanted to say about, was it smoke? No. Maybe
Seema and Ravi.
Oh, I love Seema.
I know. I really liked this Seema Ravi storyline. The only question I had was why she was wearing like a Lucite house slipper at the end of the show.
You know, I actually had a thought about the shoes too, because at the end of the episode, I wonder if it was symbolic because Carrie was also wearing like a kitten heel.
Yeah.
Did you catch that?
Yes.
Have we ever seen Carrie in a kitten heel?
Oh, they are always aren't they?
Was it like a cat thing?
Oh, like a kitten heel because she's a cat mom now?
Then she took them off. At the end of the episode, she was barefoot.
She slipped them off and was like, yes, he's gone.
And even in her house, I was trying to think, and I'm sure maybe they have, but I was trying to think, have they shown her much without shoes on?
Not really.
I feel like she's always in a heel.
In the movie, I remember the scene where Big puts the Manolo on her, and it's like a Cinderella moment.
Mm, I love that.
But yeah. But yeah, that's a good observation.
Thank you.
I also really liked when Seema and Ravi, like, so you know how the season opened with everyone having sex and then it ended with everyone having sex? Mm-hmm. I liked that after she had sex with Ravi, she was in this big, sparkly green muumuu that was honestly kind of giving the Britney Spears top and drive me crazy, but a muumuu. And she was
our
like,
impact.
Yeah, she was smoking cigs and Ravi was hitting his vape and they were having a nice little post-sex smoke sesh.
I don't know that we needed to see like everybody having sex.
Okay, I was really confused about, so like Carrie and Aiden have that conversation where Aiden's like 5 years and she's like, are you going to snap them?
Yeah. I'll never get over that.
And then they have like really happy, like giggly, fun sex and it's just like limbs everywhere and they're really into it. And I was like, how could you go from that conversation to being like, okay, I'm fine. Like, let's have some fun sex together.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if it were me, it would be like the sex where like you cry before and maybe during and definitely after because you're like, oh my God, we want to be together, but we can't for 5 years. Like, this sucks. Like, it would have been a depressing night of like conversations until like 4 a.m. and then you wake up like moody and sad the next day.
Right. Have you ever cried during sex? Sorry if that's too personal, but I am.
No,
who I am.
No, I don't think so. Have you?
I don't think so. No.
No.
No. But I am a crier, so maybe. Maybe
I've definitely cried like after and been like sad.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you're like, oh, I'm about to like be out of town for a long time. I'm going to miss you kind of thing.
You know, I was crying laughing when they were playing that game around the table and they do a word. And Carrie's like, what was the game? It was like what are you letting go of?
Yeah.
You could say one word.
One word.
And then the first one was Che Diaz and Che Diaz was like rules. And then the whole table was like,
it was such a Che Diaz answer.
Aggressively laughing at that. And I was like, that's not that funny. Like, let's cool it. Like, it's I don't need so Charlotte at cross at the table being like, like, you're so funny. Meanwhile, Charlotte should have been pissed because Charlotte would have heard the story about how Che Diaz said all that shit about Miranda at the comedy club. So I don't think Charlotte would have been like, oh my God, you're so funny.
Charlotte should have been shooting Che Diaz dirty looks across the table for what they did to her friend.
What'd you make of the Charlotte of it all? She got a new cell phone. She was hungover.
Yeah. I appreciated when she was like, Harry's like, I can't do it all, Charlotte. And she's like, you are doing the bare minimum of what women are asked. And then she's like, no, expected to do when it comes to housework every day until the end of time. And I appreciated her like standing up for herself and being like, Harry, you're being a little bitch.
Uh-huh.
I need you to help me.
And it felt unexpected too, because I sometimes feel like that storyline's been done in other shows and stuff. And I think they had just like a nice little twist on it where it was like, her response, like you just said, was no, Harry, like you can handle it instead of her giving up something or, you know, I like that she was just like, no, like this is what we're doing and fucking figure it out.
And I liked that she was hungover so that she like quite literally didn't have like the capacity to get super heated or emotional about it. She was like, Harry, I can't do loud noises right now. So I'm going to say this very quietly. You're being a little bitch.
Yeah.
And I was like, cute.
I also think with Charlotte, her whole arc this season, to me, she was my favorite part of the season.
Yeah.
Like, I just think she had a really good arc and interesting storyline. She was funny and, and I don't know, had good stuff going on. But I thought it was fascinating because I think women, mothers, or I mean, I even feel like this lately. We were talking before we started recording, but it's like, I think sometimes people who seemingly have it all together, sometimes if they're going through a tough time or something, like they can say, you can say a million times, like, I'm struggling a bit, I'm underwater a bit, and people just sort of ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like Charlotte was getting to the point at the end of the season where she's kind of kept saying to everybody around her, like, you need to pick up some of these pieces. Like, yeah. I'm doing the best I can.
Yeah.
And then it sort of culminated in that conversation with Harry where yeah. it was like, no, you have to handle some stuff. But it's like, sometimes I think people just kind of ignore when somebody seemingly together is saying, like, I'm underwater a bit. Like, mm-hmm. listen, I'm doing the best I can.
Well,
maybe that's,
you know,
a therapeutic moment for
Dan,
me.
Dan, I'm just going to say, you have this week had your own Carrie Bradshaw journey of recording your audiobook. And I want yes. to ask you, have you felt like Carrie when you're in the studio doing it?
Yeah, it's been, I mean, a little bit. I mean, I imagine Carrie was in like an air conditioned place. Like mm-hmm. the place I'm in is like a small closet and they can't put the air on because it makes noise. So I'm just mm-hmm. like sweating, dripping mm-hmm. sweat. But yes, I do feel, and it's funny because remember Carrie had the audio people and they come in your ear and they give you, like, they tell you to read things back. And it is way more challenging than anyone thinks because you read it a million fucking times.
Oh my God.
Again, in a hot room. Mm-hmm. And, so my experience is always like the director, who's this wonderful man named Peter, but he's an older straight man. And so I'm reading these stories and there are so many of them are just crazy or have like ridiculous references that are just, so trying to explain to him sometimes, or I love, like, then when I hear him laugh, I get so, I like, gives me so much energy
totally.
Because I'm like, oh, if he's laughing at this, but so, and it's making me excited, but it's just
wait.
Been, I've been struggling a bit because I just have a lot of things going on, like things that, a lot of stuff. And so I'm just this week and last week, and I don't know, lately in general, I'm just, I don't, whatever. I don't mean to complain.
And you edit your own podcast and you book your own guests and you do a lot of things. And I'm just going to gas you up a little bit because you're booked and busy and you're doing great.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank yeah. you. No, but I love, this has been so fun getting to talk about it and just like that, because I feel like it's been a little breather from the Bravo stuff, which I like sometimes. And, mm-hmm. and I don't know, what were we talking about? Did we talk about Anthony and, oh, the sex montage. Okay, wait.
The sex montage.
So there's also that person who was with Che Diaz in the sex montage.
Toby.
Who we met one time after the show last week, right? Was or whatever week
Twice.
That was.
We met them once at the vet because they came in and they're
oh,
like,
right.
you're Che Diaz? You're working
Everyone's
at a vet?
So fucking impressed.
So taken by Che Diaz. Yeah. And then after Che like emotionally abused Miranda in front of an audience, Che was like, fuck it all. Let's go for a walk, Toby. And Toby's like, okay.
Right. I can't imagine Toby would have been that turned on by Che Diaz's set about Miranda.
Oh my God.
Like, what was going on there?
If I were Toby, I'd be like, okay, never mind. I don't want you to make jokes like that about me.
Right. Also, wait, what was, so Seema in the, what was that Egypt thing? Like, what did he have to do? Or was he saving Egypt? Or like, what was, I was confused if I missed that.
He was trying to shoot a movie in Egypt and it was like a big deal because he had access to like shooting in front of the pyramids and like no one had like ever done it before. But then there was like all this back and forth about whether they were going to be able to make it happen. And Seema was like, why can't you just fucking build a set with styrofoam pyramids? Like, what's the problem?
You know what they should do?
What?
I'm spitballing here.
Please.
But I almost think they should, that man should hire Che Diaz to be in that movie. So then we can get rid of a character for 5 months.
Yes.
Like, wouldn't that be perfect?
Che
and then
Diaz
also
is
great,
off shooting a film.
Off shooting this movie in Egypt. Like, Che Paso didn't work out, but maybe this man got a hold of the pilot and he's like, let's put in Che Diaz.
Let's give Che Diaz a second shot at Hollywood.
Because there has to be, I think we have to get rid of some of these people.
Yeah.
And I know that they're not going to get rid of Che Diaz, unfortunately.
No.
But even though the audience, and even I believe Sarah Ramirez threw a little shade. Did you notice this week?
No.
There was like a little shade in an Instagram post because there was this profile done on Che Diaz. And Sarah Ramirez responded to it. And there was a little shade about like the writing in their response. And I thought it was directed to Michael Patrick King. And so I was like, maybe that might be a thing that makes the character go away, because if they're in a contentious relationship, and maybe I was reading too much into it.
Oh my gosh. This is the boots on the ground.
Heard it
info.
Here first. Heard that it here first.
Yeah. Also, did we give Samantha enough time? Is there anything else we have to say about Samantha?
Well, I think I worry about the expectation about going forward with Samantha.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great little scene. I thought it would have played better if we didn't know what was happening. So
I know.
It would have been a nice little moment because it wasn't much to it. And so
yeah.
I think all of us watching had an expectation it was going to be this big thing. Mm-hmm. It was ultimately just a frivolous little moment. But I think the thing that confused me is we had that like such a beautiful moment with Seema and Carrie outside that
the salon.
And it seemed to me that what Carrie was saying in that scene was like, my relationship with my other friend Samantha, it is not what it used to be. So it was a little confusing to me that when we picked up with Samantha and it seemed like everything was great, even though last season we had this whole arc about their relationship. And even this season, it seemed like that was informing the situation with Seema. So my guess is that I really do believe this, and I could be totally wrong. It's just my guess. I think HBO was like, we need to get a Samantha cameo. They were the ones who facilitated it, because I don't think Michael Patrick King wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. He obviously didn't even direct it. So reading between the lines there, it's like, okay, come on. So somebody else had to have wanted, somebody else had to have done that. I don't think Michael Patrick King wanted that to happen. I just don't believe it. He'll probably, maybe he'll say it, but I don't believe, probably. But so I think that it had to have come from a higher thing.
Power.
Maybe producers, maybe HBO. I don't know who wanted it.
Yeah.
But somebody else, because SJP, a producer on this series, seemingly very involved in the whole creation of the series.
Right.
She definitely didn't want it to happen.
Yeah.
Michael Patrick King didn't want it to happen. So somebody else had to have made this happen.
That's true.
So I think somebody demanded it. So I think narratively, maybe it wasn't, they weren't supposed to have that relationship be perfect, but then they were forced to do this cameo.
So they had to just like,
so it was like, let's figure it out.
Yeah.
That's my theory.
Yeah. Because I mean, that's a good point, because I was curious about that too. And also I feel like they probably didn't have enough time with Kim Cattrall to have a fully fleshed out conversation about like, Samantha, what the fuck happened? Like, what happened to us? Because if they had had that, it would have teed up maybe a return, and we're not going to get that. So I had to just be like, oh, what a fabulous, fabulous flat. She's like, Carrie, I was going to surprise you.
Put the apartment on speaker.
Yeah. Thank you for everything, you fucking fabulous, fabulous flat.
I missed her.
I really missed her. I also liked that they reprised her music from the movie. That's like...
And Pat Field did her wardrobe.
Which is such a slay.
Which is also like that reading between the lines of that, of like not using the costumer that they have for the series.
So much drama.
Like there's so much going on. And the other thing I thought, okay, if they're forced to do this cameo and they got a couple hours with Kim Cattrall, it was fascinating to me, what's her relationship with Cynthia Nixon and Kristen Davis? Because it would have made so much, I would have loved to see Samantha with somebody else. If SJP wouldn't do it, what I would have loved to seen, and I don't know how they would have worked that out. Again, I don't understand narratively how that would have worked if Samantha, they want to keep her in London. But it would have just been, I would have loved so much more if we could have gotten Kim Cattrall with Kristen Davis or Miranda, because I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
In person, I'm saying. It was like the fact that they had Kim Cattrall with no other actor.
I know.
Director of the episode and the creator of the series is not involved in the scene. SJP is on a phone call, filmed not with. They even said she didn't, SJP wasn't even actually on the phone. They filmed that separate. So,
right.
So it wasn't even like a chemistry thing of getting the two of them together. So it's like there is so much behind the scenes stuff that like none of us will probably ever know. Maybe one day they'll do like some sort of expose on it. But I just think it's like way more complicated and crazy than what they're letting on.
Totally.
Because there's too much ambivalence there.
I know. And it is interesting now that you mentioned that Michael Patrick King didn't direct that scene with Kim. I did feel like tonally it was a little different. And not just because it was Samantha, but like her acting seemed just like a little just like disjointed from the rest of the cast. Not that she's not great, but you know what I mean.
Oh my God, wait, you caught up on How I Met Your Father?
Oh yes.
Okay, so tell me, so you finally got to the episodes where John Corbett is in them. And he playing a love interest of Hilary Duff.
Yes, with giant mutton chops.
And Kim Cattrall is playing Hilary Duff as a grown person.
Yes.
So how is the storyline? Because I don't watch the show.
It's fucking wild. So like she meets him at a party because he's a chef, and she asks for ranch, and he like Judge Judy's her about that, and then he makes her ranch, and they like kiss in the kitchen, and then they like start dating, and all her friends are like, you're dating an old guy, like you're dating an old guy, and she's like, oh my God, like I don't even care, like we're just having sex all the time, and it's like so fun. And then she thinks he might be her dad.
What? Yeah, no, what?
She thinks he might be her dad because she finds out that he was at the same, the first Lollapalooza, seeing like Jane's Addiction at the same time as her mom. And her mom told her a story about how she...
Slow down. I need to breathe this in. I need to breathe it in. So, okay. So Hillary thinks that Hillary's fucking John Corbett.
Yeah, they're dating.
And they're actually having sex.
Yes. No. Well, you don't see it on the show. They just talk about it. But they kiss, talk about it. And they kiss on the mouth.
Oh, my God. And then Hillary thinks he might be the father.
So then he's like, come with me to my house upstate. So we have another... John Corbett's characters always just have another house.
Show somewhere. Us his goddamn house or put him off screen or don't talk about it.
We got to see the house in How I Met Your Father. Okay. So I have questions about why they have the budget for that and How I Met Your Father, a sitcom, and not... And just like that. But it's neither here nor there. They go to his house and he's like, I was at Jane's Addiction at the first Lollapalooza. And she puts together that her mom was also there and was like, I fucked this really hot guy at the Jane's Addiction concert. And that's where you were conceived. And so then Hillary Duff's like, holy fucking shit, am I having sex with my dad?
You know, this is dark sided.
And then, I mean, spoiler alert, he's not her dad.
Well, thank fucking God.
I know, but she like...
A sitcom on Hulu is exploring that maybe she was fucking her dad.
Yeah.
Like, and that's wild.
And then she flees because she's like, oh my God, oh my God. Like, I'm pretty sure I've been dating my dad. And
what the fuck is going on?
And then he's like, oh no, but I did make out with your mom. And they're like, well, we can't come back from that. And then they break up.
Hannah, what is happening on this show?
I'm telling you.
Wait, did he finish the season or series?
I think I still have like a few episodes left. I'm not fully caught up.
So did he just disappear? Is he done now?
Yeah, he's gone.
Who? I'm sorry. What?
I think it's like...
He's 62 years old. And how old is Hillary Duff? Is like 30.
She has to be like 35, 36. 36.
Wow. Not that I don't want to age. I mean, whatever.
He played her teacher in Raise Your Voice. That's shocking.
That's the weird part about it to me.
So he might as well be her real life dad. And I also wonder if it's like in John Corbett's like contract that like he will only play the romantic like interest of like extremely petite women. Because to Hillary Duff and SJP, it's like, oh, he's so big and you're so small.
Okay, that's so creepy to me, though. Yeah. That whole thing. I mean, maybe it played better, but the way you're describing it sounds fucking absurd.
No, Danny, it was unhinged.
Oh, my God.
It was really unhinged.
Do I need to tune in? No, I'm not going
to. No, you have to.
I might.
You have to, because I want to hear your takes.
I think it'll be like one of those shows like Emily in Paris, where you're just somehow some Saturday hits you and you're just like, let me just watch all of this. And then you don't even like it, but you just keep watching it.
Exactly. That was how I spent my entire Sunday morning. It was just episode after episode of How I Met Your Father.
Sometimes those are fun binges. Like I might probably enjoy watching that. Like that. Yeah. Okay. But it's still crazy.
It's batshit.
Wait, there was something else I wanted to say about John Corbett and I totally forgot. But everyone collectively has made me turn on him because I was always Team Aiden over Big. And now I'm like, maybe we need to bring Big back from the fucking dead or get him versus some new people.
Let's talk about practical magic. We do a spell, you and I.
That could be our witchcraft spell.
To bring back Big.
Maybe, I think.
And he comes out of the rose bushes.
You know, we need to do a spell to bring in some new guy for her.
I know.
Didn't he bring that fucking podcast producer
back?
That's
what I was just going to say.
He was so hot. Like, bring him back.
He was so hot. Even though they struggled to write like a 2-second ad for tampons or whatever it was.
Right. Are you glad that Anthony lost his ass virginity?
Yeah, he looked like he was having a great time.
He looked like he was having a great time. His face was like, was like mine when you were telling the story about John Corbett and How I Met Your Father. That was the face he was making. And it made me laugh that they had all that lube on the on the thing.
Did I see like butter on the nightstand?
It was Boy Butter, which is like this.
Oh, it's a brand.
It's like this brand of
lube. I didn't know if it was like real butter. I was like, wow, that's so European.
Giuseppe. Butter. Like, I want the butter.
Yeah, in Italy, we use butter as lubricant.
Oh my God. I wonder if they'll bring him back.
I feel like they will.
They'll bring all these fuckers back. We're going to have to sit through all them kids, all the Wyatt will be back. Everybody will be back. This season, though, Naya, she did end up with the chef.
Yeah.
Just want to mention that. She ended up with the chef. It was very loose, I guess. Oh, that was the other thing I wanted to mention.
Yeah.
When they were at the table and the chef was making the olives.
Yes.
Okay. Like, what the fuck?
It was an olive medley.
Where it was so funny to me when Naya was like eating the olive and then was like making those euphemisms like,
yeah.
like, oh, and then I just suck it up. And she was like looking at the chef.
She's like, it exploded in my mouth. I wasn't expecting that.
And everyone's just sitting there and
they're like, oh, Naya. Jake was like, oh, is she just like giving Samantha now? Like, is that what this character is doing?
It's like I think everyone wants to write those lines. What a fun character to write Samantha. Like,
totally.
And so you want to give those lines to someone. So it's like everybody's just has to cosplay Samantha.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, but I feel like to your point earlier, it didn't feel like in line with who we've known Naya to be the rest of the series. Like, I don't feel like she's ever been that bold, and maybe she's like, maybe they're setting her up to step into this new like sexual power, whatever. And great.
Let Naya go be on Morning Show. Like, if we aren't going to have the actor for enough time.
Yeah.
Then let her go on Morning
Show.
Let
her live.
Yeah, that show's crazy too. Like, let them go live over there. Anyway, this series though, and just like that, so it got picked up for season 3. Mm-hmm. Scary sound effect. I don't know where that is. But it did get picked up, so it's coming back. So buckle up, baby.
Yeah.
This show is crazy. I love it. Watching it, it's fun. So fun to recap. I think I've been having the best time.
I've had
with you.
A great time.
Like, it's so fun to dive in. So even though we're nitpicky and picking apart, it's because it's we're having fun, and I don't ever want this show to go away. Even though it's crazy a lot of the times and really actively makes me enraged most of the time. Mm-hmm. And I do think much of this season was maybe worse than last season.
Yeah.
And yet. Book them for another 5 more years.
We need it.
Imagine if it runs longer than the original.
Oh my God. It's
That's where I'll have a problem.
And just like that. problem.
That's where I'm going to have a problem.
And just like that, season 45.
Like, I just, how many seasons was the original Sex and the City?
I think
like
seven.
Seven. So eight? I just want to just all of us collectively agree that yes, we need it to go on for many more seasons, mm-hmm. but we need to stop it.
We need to know when to say when.
Just for respect purposes. I think that's where I land on it. Did you have any other thoughts?
Oh, did you like how the episode ended with Seema and Carrie in Greece?
Oh, no.
Why
maybe,
not?
Maybe I did. It was like a nice light ending. Yeah. I think the thing that I didn't like about it was clearly that it was Los Angeles Beach. Like, that's what it like really threw me off, because I feel like I knew exactly where they were.
That's so funny.
And it was just like in between two rocks. So it was like an easy location for them to get. And
yes.
I was just like, this does not feel like Greece to me.
You're like, shut up. You're not in Greece.
But it was nice to have them together and having fun. I'm pissed. We're never seeing them in the Hamptons, I guess.
Never. I know. Carrie's like, I can't do the Hamptons. I'm like, what the fuck do you have against the Hamptons? Why are you actively avoiding
Bethany
the Hamptons?
It's Bethany Frankel.
And fair enough,
they
honestly.
Mentioned it, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to run into her.
I wouldn't either. A cosmopolitan on the beach doesn't sound appetizing to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No. To me, that's
what's
like a
beach
night drink.
Drink.
A margarita, probably a spicy margarita with tahini.
Frozen?
No, on the rocks. What about you?
I think I would do a frozen.
A pina colada? Yeah,
no, I don't like, I love coconut, but not in a drink form.
Daiquiri?
Yeah, maybe like a daiquiri.
Yummy.
Yeah. Not too sweet though. I sometimes they make those drinks too sweetie and it's like, no.
That's why I don't
no
really
sweetie.
Do blended.
Yeah.
No, sweetie.
Yeah,
no. I also liked hearing Carrie speak Greek, and I'm floppy air quotes speak Greek. She's like, Baruma nevio two cosmopolitans. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I'm sorry, if that guy earlier in the episode is going to be like, Steve, just speak English. Like, I really wanted the server to be like, ma'am, please just tell me what you'd like.
But can I just say that at least like Carrie's Greek accent and Steve's Spanish work were still better than the actor doing the Giuseppe actor playing Giuseppe. Like it's like both of them, I felt like were better than Giuseppe's accent, where I'm like, I've seen the actor in interviews. I've been sending you clips because the actor in interviews is not speaking like that.
No.
And
very
so
much American.
He's doing like a very interesting work.
Yeah.
And it's, I want to do it up your butt.
There was that
it's
part
like a lot.
There was the part where he was talking to them about how he might go back to Rome. And he's like, I want to be, how you say, and it was like, and, Harry's like, impenetrable. And he's like, impenetrable. Yes. And I was like, this is giving like Hilaria Baldwin, like not knowing what a cucumber is. Like,
how you say
a cucumber.
I think at one of the times he was trying to say the word stop or something. Yeah. And it was like, oh, what is the word? And he kept saying that. And I was like, then he landed on stop or something. And I was like, what? Like, what?
I say.
Oh, I love it. Hannah, this has been so fun.
What a ball.
Again, you'll come back for something and maybe join me on a tour date or two. So get tickets at everythingiconic.com. And anything else you want to say before you leave listeners for at least a short time?
Oh my gosh.
You'll come back though.
Thank you so much for having me, Danny, like on this ride with you. It's been so fun. And listeners, thank you so much for loving these episodes as much as we love recording them. It's been so nice.
I think we should recap like some other, not Bravo show, like some other bizarre,
yeah,
like an Emily in Paris or something.
Oh, the dream.
Something crazy.
Something unhinged.
We should do morning show.
Great.
Morning show. I don't know. Anyway. This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I love you all so much for listening. Thank you so much. And goodbye.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. Can I plug my show?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and if you want to follow me at Hannah A. Brown on Instagram and Twitter, Hannah A. Brown 0 on TikTok, and listen to my podcast.
You seem so stressed right now.
Oh, my God. No, because I feel like I'm like forcing you to plug this.
No, you're not forcing.
Listen to my podcast, You Know You Love Us, which is a Gossip Girl / pop culture podcast. Check it out.
Yeah. So go subscribe to it. Go give it a nice review. And listen, and follow Hannah, not the other Hannah. Follow this Hannah.
Hannah A. Brown. I can't stress that enough.
Hey, Brown.
Yeah.
Okay, I love you, Hannah. And
love you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.